Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. President Trump signed a federal order directing federal agencies, including the National Guard, ICE, ATF, and more, into the Democratic-led city of Memphis as he continues his plans to crack down on crime. In the Oval Office, he says this effort in Memphis, D.C., and eventually other cities is a priority in his administration.
This is a very important thing. We have to save our country from violent crime.
Mr. Trump also weighed in on the fate of TikTok, saying he believes very good talks with China over the weekend will lead to a deal for the social media app.
It was very successful. And on top of it, we have what could be a very good deal.
The performers for next April's Coachella Festival in California have been announced. Sabrina Carpenter, Justin Bieber, and Karol G will be headlining on different nights. Other performers include The Strokes, Pink Panthers, and Cat's Eye. Passes go on sale Friday, September 19th. This is ABC News. Russia and Belarus launched a massive show of firepower with their military exercises Monday, appearing to target NATO and other supporters of Ukraine with the display. ABC's Patrick Rievel reports from Belarus.
The last time that Russia held these exercises, it used them as cover for the buildup of forces before its invasion of Ukraine. It then, months later, launched an attack on Kyiv from here in Belarus. This time, I think it's much more about sending a message. Vladimir Putin wants to use these exercises to tell the West that he is able to keep going in Ukraine and has no need to compromise.
270,000 commuters who use New York's Long Island Railroad every day will not have to contend with a strike for now. Union leaders are asking the Trump administration to appoint mediators. The union says members have gone nearly 3 years without a raise. They're asking for a 16% increase over 4 years. I'm Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm just tired of male nudity. I don't ever need to see an old naked dude again in my life.
Yeah.
Like in the locker room, you expect to see a certain amount of nudity. Okay. Some of those guys walk around like they're, you know, proud and they're like,
yeah, they walk.
You should just not do that. You don't really want to make eye contact with anyone because you don't want to give people the wrong impression. You don't know what people are thinking.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's Real News and Great Conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
The Pack is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers get ready now to play the Cleveland Browns. The Browns losing to the Ravens yesterday in Baltimore, 41-17. But Jordan Love will be without one of his best receivers, Jaden Reed, Matt LaFleur.
Unfortunately, he broke his collarbone, so he'll be down for quite some time. We'll see. Certainly, I would expect him back at some point this season, but obviously it's a big blow to us.
College football, the Badgers host Maryland next after losing in Alabama, 38-14 on Saturday. Luke Fickell.
Well, that's obviously not easy to swallow. And the truth of the matter is, I told those guys that was a much better team than we are right now.
Baseball, the Brewers lost to the Cardinals yesterday 3-2, but that's okay. The Crew, the first team in the major leagues this year to clinch a playoff spot.
It's been a joy for me to be around a group of guys that have taken this, that uncommon mindset, as serious as they've taken it.
That's Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any leftover showers and rumbles of thunder quickly going by the wayside in the overnight, a partly to mostly cloudy with lows in the mid-60s. On Tuesday, we'll see mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies with afternoon highs in the mid-80s. Right now, it's 67.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a Fox host has to apologize after saying the homeless should be involuntarily executed. We'll talk about that with Todd Allball. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Talk about overall mental health, how we cope with this nonstop, overwhelming news. Tom, thanks for calling. What say you?
Nobody can do push-ups indefinitely. But bring this back to mental health, and suddenly we feel able to pound through this without taking any kind of a break. And it's just not the way that it works. So do any action that takes you away from whatever it is that you're stressing out. Go for a walk. Get a drink of water. Read a book.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
That is what makes democracy great. The power in a democracy is derived from the people. It resides in the people. These individuals that we have elected don't hold those seats in perpetuity.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Why are we cutting Medicaid, which is overwhelmingly popular with both Democrats and Republicans?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
You know what we need in the United States is more paperwork.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, if you missed our first hour of programming, not to worry. As soon as this show wraps at 6 p.m., you can find this show and all of my previous shows at civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That was a great discussion because we were talking about this big question, especially in light of some of the extremist invective from the far right, including from our president and vice president, in the wake of Charlie Kirk's unacceptable assassination last week. We've been talking about, as the rhetoric and some of the policies from the right and from the MAGA movement seem to be heating up, how does a Democratic candidate for a statewide office, you know, like the Wisconsin governor, address what's happening in Washington, D.C., and some of this national political discourse and divisiveness, while back here at home in Wisconsin, appeal to Wisconsinites of all political backgrounds, right? Conservatives and liberals, far left progressives, and maybe some folks that voted for Donald Trump in the good faith belief that he would make their economic situation better, who may be a little disillusioned by now. How do we build a big tent to win in 2026, especially here in a state like Wisconsin? Well, I've got one of those candidates with me for the next half hour. I've been very much looking forward to talking with him. I will say to this next guest, his candidacy for governor, I didn't see that one coming. For a million miles away, nobody loves a political surprise more than me. So with all of that as preview, let me be very pleased and humbled to bring to the show Mr. Ryan Stiernad. He is candidate for Wisconsin governor, going to be in the Democratic primary. Welcome to the show, Mr. Stiernad. It's so nice to have you.
Thank you for having me, Maggie.
Okay, so tell us, what in God's name made you decide like, oh, now is the time. I think I should run for governor. You've been a successful beer vendor at what was Miller Park, going back to the county stadium days, what now is our beloved AmFam Field. What made you say, oh, you know, chuck that, I'm going to go run for governor?
Well, currently, I started a political action committee for the beer vendors called Drinks in the Seats. Right around the start of the 2017 season, it was springing off the heels of me being a union steward for the beer vendors at the time. And I thought I'd take things a step further by starting the political action committee to fight some upcoming plans the brewers had to expand the concession stands. Now, that sort of got off the ground more with the media than at the legislative level. I had minimal success doing anything with drinks in the seats. We can talk about that later. But it's actually been talked about publicly from 2017 on. People are thinking, well, this person, Ryan Sternad, might be thinking of a political office someday. And I had run for political office one time before. That was in 2000. It was when I was a Republican at that. But looking forward, going back to 2017, I was thinking, well, maybe I can run for something. It will be as a Democrat for the first time since I joined the Democratic Party in 2001. But I live out here in Western Miguanago, and we have a lot of Republicans in here. I do think it's a matter of time, however, where Waukesha County Executive would get more of a moderate or a lefty candidate sometime whenever Paul Farrell gets out of there. However, here's where it kind of hit me, and it's kind of a classic story. I remember back in 2018 when Tony Evers knocked Scott Walker out of there, and I was very happy about that. But it was starting to think that I was sitting at an overnight job, which I'm no longer at. I'm in a different overnight job. But besides that, I was working in a foundry at the time, and I was cleaning some metal in between our going to a foundry and making our pours. And it was I almost fell and hit my head. I did not. But the idea of me running for governor when Tony Evers retires could be not too far of a reach. And I even started to estimate when Tony Evers would probably stick around to. I was thinking 8 years. I knew he'd be 75 at that.
What was it about that fall that made you think you wanted to run for governor?
I really thought at first how it popped into my head. I was thinking like, wow, that's a big one. But then I really started to do the math and thinking, and because I've gotten some media attention with drinks in the seat already, and that was before the coronavirus pandemic. We'll get to that later perhaps. But I was thinking, okay, governor, yeah. And I said this, you know, well, Miguanago, where I live, that's in a highly red district. Wisconsin is a swing district, or in this case, a swing state. And I was thinking, you know, hey, maybe I should go for it. And another thing too, and this is important, if I were to be on the state assembly or state senate, I would have a hard time trying to fight my cohorts trying to get some things done in the legislature, because I have to convince a lot of people to get what I want passed. I kind of thought, well, how about an executive position like governor? And I think that would be better for me if I want to get something done for the state of Wisconsin, which I've lived here for 50 years and cared dearly about, that might be the route to go.
That is a remarkable story as to how you came to run for governor in this cycle. When you announced, you talked specifically about your support for organized labor and your opposition to Act 10, as well as right to work. Tell me a little bit about that. I understand you sort of had your own political epiphany tied to your becoming an organized worker some 25 years ago in and around 2000. Tell us a little bit about that and why you are so supportive of organized labor.
Yes, we'll go back to 2000. That was the only other time I ran for political office. And I ran against an incumbent, Jeff Plaley, who had since passed away recently. And I was living in Oak Creek at the time. That was the 21st State Assembly District, had almost all of South Milwaukee, all of Oak Creek, and a few of the Milwaukee, City of Milwaukee, South Side wards. And as I was going around, you know, going through the framework of running for state legislature political office, I got to meet with some unions as they were interviewing me for possible endorsements. Now, they chose not to endorse me for one reason or the other. You know, they probably were looking like I was maybe, you know, kind of a token candidate. And I do recall going back there trying to knock off Jeff Plaley, an incumbent, someone back then. A lot of people were telling me there was really no chance a Republican would even win that that South Side district. So no one really gave me a chance back then. Although a side note to that, 3 years later in 2003, Mark Honnell won that as Republican, but things have changed. I don't want to get into that big story. But like I said, I was getting encouraged more and more from union people. You know, maybe I should switch sides after the election and become a Democrat. And they also liked the fact that I was all right on my third season of vending beer in the union then known as Unite Here, with the union at the represents the beer vendors at Brewer Stadium, incidentally last year of County Stadium. And so after I lost the election, Christmas came and all that, 2001 came, and I made a decision that, okay, I'll go join the Democratic Party. And I joined the Democratic Party in March of 2001 because I really, and I was welcomed by a lot of established Democrats there, such as the late Senator Rick Grobschmidt and then Senator, prominent Senator Brian Burke.
Well, that is incredible. Did you want to finish, Ryan, just your thought about why you are today opposed to both Act 10 as well as the right to work legislation that was passed just a few years ago?
I thought when we went to right to work 9 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, it was 10 years ago, 10 years ago. I was actually embarrassed as a Wisconsin resident that we had to go that way. Wisconsin has always been regarded as a union state. It really has. And then that happened. It happened under the administration of Scott Walker and the Republicans. Act 10, I thought, was just, even though I was not a teacher, I thought it was just a slap in the face to teachers. I was very, very disappointed with then Governor Scott Walker, who goes ahead right away. He'd even mentioned about it in the campaign. He did not have the guts to mention it in the campaign. And he surprises that on everyone. It was kind of a mild week in February of 2011 back then. And he goes and does it. And I was just upset.
I get it. I think like you, Mr. Sternad, so many people were caught off guard because as far as I recall, most of the indications during that campaign from Mr. Walker were that he wasn't going to broach that topic. So it did seem like a complete political sandbag. I want to ask you again a little bit more about some of your platform policies. We're going to share Mr. Sternad's website for his campaign in our show notes today. Ryan, why don't you tell folks what that is so they can find it themselves?
I can be reached at RyanSternadForGovernor.com.
There you've got it. And that is, again, spelled RyanSternad for governor.com. You wanted to talk about COVID restrictions, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to address this and your position on those. Go ahead, sir.
That was a very hard time, but I took a very rare stance for a Democrat back then. I looked at COVID restrictions as employees being deprived of income opportunities. Yes, I was going against the operations of Governor Evers. I was going against the operations and initiatives of the unions. The unions appeared to be more concerned about health and safety measures. I looked at it like this. I was a vendor. I still am a vendor at the stadium. It was the start of March. We were all the vendors there were looking forward for opening day that year. We even had a couple of our season orientation meetings at the stadium. Everyone at the stadium was looking forward for opening day. And it was at the end of February where coronavirus was starting to go around the world. We had no thought of it. We had no thought about there to be cancellations. Then all of a sudden, it was really March 11th where everything just hit and we're all running wild. We're canceling everything. Our fate was sealed from working a single game at that baseball season, the 2020 baseball season, before the end of March. And I looked at it like this. I stick up for people's jobs. I stick up for people who want to make money. I upset a lot of fellow Democrats with the stand I took. But losing money is losing money. And I just wish that the officials should have gotten second opinions from Dr. Fauci back then and shouldn't have been that quick to jump into decisions as far as having crowd size limits when then Health Secretary Designee Andrea Palm uttered the statement, we're limiting crowd sizes of 250 people. I was like, well, there goes opening day.
Hang on, folks. We're going to come back with Mr. Ryan Sternad. He is candidate for Wisconsin governor. He's going to be in the Democratic primary. We're going to continue our discussion about COVID response. We'll get to his support for the boys and ladies in blue, our police. We'll talk abortion and maybe even the environment. So don't go anywhere. All that and more coming up next with one of your Democratic primary candidates for governor right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on air.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Super excited this half hour to be joined by Democratic primary candidate for Wisconsin governor in 2026, Ryan Sternad. He's been telling us a bit about his view on the COVID-19 lockdowns back from, oh my goodness, now, so many years ago, it seems like a blur, 2020, just 5 years ago, hard to believe. And so, Ryan, I understand and certainly agree with the concern over people losing their livelihood, right? Like, those are the two values that we're concerned about, both public health and people's ability to earn a living. At what point, if COVID wasn't the sort of global pandemic that in your administration you would be comfortable shutting down public offices or issuing stay-at-home orders for, is there any type of public health emergency that you think would rise to the level requiring that sort of government intervention? Is there something like that, or is it simply not something that you would ever consider?
I would have to look at the seriousness of the situation. Yes, I mean, like what happened back in Milwaukee last month, we had floods, you know, and a lot of the elected officials did a very good job and were successful on getting President Donald Trump to finally give us some of the federal assistance funding on that. So I will look at everything as a case-by-case basis. But to go ahead and to just say, we're not going to have this and we're not going to have that, I would really have to put a lot more care into it before I were to make such a big, drastic, and responsible decision. It was my opinion that I think some of the elected officials jumped to conclusion when the coronavirus came.
And I guess my question, and I want to focus in on this because I think the question of what is public health and how do we best protect it and how do we expect our elected officials to make decisions? If the COVID-19 global pandemic was not a sufficient case to engage in any even short-term government or other shutdowns, whom would you talk to or what data or information would you seek that wasn't available to President Trump and Governor Evers at the time that this occurred in 2000? Specifically, what I'm asking you is this. It was basically at that early March time in 2020, it was the consensus that elected officials were hearing from the credentialed medical, immunology, and epidemiology specialists that they thought this was an airborne transmissal, that it lived on surfaces, and that it could kill people, and we had yet to have a vaccine developed for it. That was the state of information in March of 2020. I understand you to be saying you still wouldn't shut down businesses or any government functions. And my question to you is, if it's not the experts within our university systems and the epidemiologists and the global health experts that study this, whom exactly would you be talking to or asking about whether or not to engage in that sort of a government intervention, i.e. shutdowns?
Okay, two things here. One, you said about a minute ago about how they thought it was. I would have done a lot more than just talk to one doctor, okay?
I guess what I'm saying is that's not what happened, sir. What happened was consultation with hundreds, if not thousands, of global medical professionals. And the consensus was at that time to shut these functions down, that they weren't sure how fast this would transmit and how many would die as a result. And so I'm asking you, whom did you base that conclusion on then or now that that was inappropriate based on the information that was being provided to the president and the governor at that time? Whom differently would you suggest that you would talk to? How many experts is sufficient?
I actually think the media was covering some things up on that whole coronavirus.
Okay.
What I've been hearing about all these experts. I mean, really. I mean, to me, when I was sitting at home, and I'll even speak for my parents, they're just two other people. They're retired, they're going out west now. It seemed like Dr. Fauci was practically running the country for 2 or 3 years when the coronavirus has hit. I mean, it made me sick when I had to pray that Dr. Fauci would think before he would say things, because I really thought that a lot of these governors we've had, including Tony Evers, just took whatever Dr. Fauci would go ahead and say. And I was just like, and then there was some other talk about this, and I do not want to sound like a Republican, that there could have been some financial incentives involved with Dr. Fauci.
None of that was ever proven. That was largely just a conspiracy theory. My question to you is, whom do you think Dr. Fauci was speaking with? Do you think that was just his opinion, or do you think he was speaking with every available professional in the field at that time?
You're going to have an opinion. I mean, it all comes down to whatever comes out of Dr. Fauci's mouth. I mean, I'm sorry, but there should have been more people. You're suggesting there were more people involved. I will not dispute that. But it just, like I said, Dr. Fauci, there should have been more people involved. There should have been more people getting second opinions other than what Dr. Fauci had to say. What they were trying to do in China, and we never tried this in America. I put this on my personal Facebook page. They were starting to build new hospitals from scratch and trying to start that way. I'm sure they had some real strict lockdowns, more than America ever had. But we've never tried that. Thought about trying to build more hospitals similar to like a military unit out in the field. So, like I said,
Milwaukee County actually did build an emergency hospital on the state fairgrounds during the COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you so much. That was Mr. Ryan Stiernad, candidate for Wisconsin governor in 2026. He'll be on the Democratic primary ticket. Thank you for spending your time with us, Ryan. Folks, stick with us. I'll be right back. We'll talk a little Brewers, the 2-0 Packers, and a few things political on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. President Trump signed a federal order directing federal agencies, including the National Guard, ICE, ATF, and more, into the Democratic-led city of Memphis as he continues his plans to crack down on crime. In the Oval Office, he says this effort in Memphis, D.C., and eventually other cities is a priority in his administration.
This is a very important thing. We have to save our country from violent crime.
Mr. Trump also weighed in on the fate of TikTok, saying he believes very good talks with China over the weekend will lead to a deal for the social media app.
It was very successful. And on top of it, we have what could be a very good deal.
The performers for next April's Coachella Festival in California have been announced. Sabrina Carpenter, Justin Bieber, and Karol G will be headlining on different nights. Other performers include The Strokes, Pink Panthers, and Cat's Eye. Passes go on sale Friday, September 19th. This is ABC News.
The Pack is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers get ready now to play the Cleveland Browns. The Browns losing to the Ravens yesterday in Baltimore, 41-17. But Jordan Love will be without one of his best receivers, Jaden Reed. Matt LaFleur.
Unfortunately, he broke his collarbone, so he'll be down for quite some time. We'll see. Certainly, I would expect him back at some point this season, but obviously it's a big blow to us.
College football, the Badgers host Maryland next after losing in Alabama, 38-14 on Saturday. Luke Fickle.
Well, that's obviously not easy to swallow. And the truth of the matter is, I told those guys that was a much better team than we are right now.
Baseball, the Brewers lost to the Cardinals yesterday 3-2, but that's okay. The Crew, the first team in the major leagues this year to clinch a playoff spot.
It's been a joy for me to be around a group of guys that have taken this, that uncommon mindset, as serious as they've taken it.
That's Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If this past weekend box office earnings are any indication, anime has completely arrived. Demon Slayer Infinity Castle found itself at the top of the box office with a $70 million opening weekend. Its opening day take of $33 million was the highest opening ever for an anime film. Last week's number one film, The Conjuring Last Rites, held off three challengers for the number two spot and a take of $26 million. The three new releases include Downton Abbey, which brought in $18 million big ones in its first week of release to finish at number three. The Stephen King-inspired The Long Walk pulled in $11.5 million over the weekend. The film is based on King's first novel of the same title. And in fifth place was sort of a new release, or more accurately, a new re-release, as Toy Story brought in over $3 million on over 200 screens, giving it a massive haul of $195 million dating back about 30 years. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.5 WLAK.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any leftover showers and rumbles of thunder quickly going by the wayside in the overnight, a partly to mostly cloudy with lows in the mid-60s. On Tuesday, we'll see mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies with afternoon highs in the mid-80s. It's 66 at our studios.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Susan Kearns from Milwaukee Film joins me to talk about a really sweet event. Then renowned Milwaukee-based singer-songwriter Trapper Shep joins me and shares his amazing music. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you can take this program and all of our talk lineup with you everywhere you go by downloading the Civic Media app. You can get it for free wherever you get your favorite apps from. And you can call and text us using the app as well. Just one touch, which is pretty gosh darn convenient. And you will need it, especially because this Friday is our very last Free Ticket Friday Brewers ticket giveaway of the summer. I am so sad to see baseball coming to an end. Yep, you need the app to play. And again, our very last Free Ticket Friday is coming up on this Friday. Tune in and listen to the entire Civic Media lineup throughout the day for the keyword to win in that hour. That word you text in via the app, it will get you entered to win 4 club-level tickets to a Brewers game. As they continue to be the best team in baseball, we here at Civic Media want to give each and every one of you a chance to see them at AmFam Field free and on Civic Media's dime. Like these listeners, Chris from Sun Prairie has taken down a set of tickets. Kimberly from Wauwatosa, Terry in Cross Plains, Jim in Brookfield, Penny in Plainfield, Kevin in Madison, and Doc in Milwaukee. Congratulations to all of those winners. The next winner could be you. So download that Civic Media app. Get it ready to go this Friday. Again, you'll have 5 chances to enter to win those 4 Brewers club level tickets by listening to Civic Media all day Friday. I am super excited myself. Excited for the end of the season. Sad to see it finally here. All of our contesting rules, of course, can be found at civicmedia.us. We got one of my favorite callers in the wait list. Before I get to him, CJ, hang on. I'll put you on the air in just a second. Wanted to finish out the conversation with the candidate, Ryan Stiernad, the candidate for governor. We didn't have time to keep him around, but I just wanted to share a little bit more of his positions. He is pro-choice, he said, as he announced his candidacy. Quote, any pregnant mother-to-be or mother who wants an abortion can have an abortion, end quote. On the environment, he said this, we do enough to support the environment anyways and opposes shutting down oil and gas pipelines because that is costing people's jobs. He lifted up a recycling bin and said, go to a store, get yourself one of these, just buy yourself one of these, $15 at your local hardware store, start recycling, boom, you're helping the environment right there. Again, thank you, Mr. Stiernad, for coming on the show to talk about this stuff with us. We really appreciate your time. We have got one of my favorite callers on the line. CJ, how are you doing, my friend? What do you got for us?
Thank you for taking my call, Maggie. I had a little temper tantrum the last time we talked, and I want to follow on Charlie Kirk's example. I'm going to have a dialogue with people that I disagree with. I saw him over a year ago about, actually to exactly a year, at the University of Wisconsin campus. Mm-hmm. And there was probably 1,500 to 2,000 people there. And the patience that man has, as people call him names or whatever, I'm kind of used to that myself. But, you know, I think it's absolutely no one side owns. I got a chance to talk to Tom Hartman today. And I pretty much what I said was no party owns the assassination or political violence. But this, a man who was gunned down defending the First Amendment. And one thing, he was a Christian man, which I consider myself a Christian, went to church this weekend, and you would not believe the numbers at those services. And most of them were young kids looking for positive influence and messages. And I had a chance to say that to Tom Hartman, and not to mention, on the Sunday morning, I watch them all, CNN, MSNBC. I watch every news program I can. There was one of his border or on the Turning Point USA board said they've had 37,250 inquiries for new chapters. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Pro-American, pro-Christian values, family values, and to watch this in real time and have people cheer it on, I don't care what your ideology is. I think you know where I stand on that, and I've heard you talk about it. It shouldn't happen. You're in the public eye. We've met. I really enjoy our conversations. You're a beautiful lady. You're smart. You're funny. And I appreciate you giving me the time to honor him, because people that don't know him in a little snippet that says he doesn't believe empathy need to do more research, because they only take a little snippet of that quote. And I challenge you to read that entire quote where he compares empathy to sympathy. So I'm begging you to present both sides on this, because it's shameful. Whether it was the congresswoman that was shot through the door with her husband, disgusting, absolutely disgusting. So again, we're lucky to be Americans. The First Amendment allows you to say whatever you want to say, and me also. We may not see eye to eye. I think we see eye to eye on more things than sometimes we show in a 30-second to 1-minute discussion. But thank you so much, because I said I wasn't going to call you anymore. And then I started to listen to Charlie Kirk, and I watched him. I saw him. I got to ask him a question at the university. They were all out of hats.
CJ, we got to leave it there. Gave you as much time as I could. I agreed with CJ's statement that as Americans, we have a speech right. We have a speech right. But let's not mistake a speech right for acceptance or tolerance. Excuse me, I shouldn't say tolerance. For acceptance of the messages. My defense of Charlie Kirk's right to say vile, hateful things is never going to be dependent on what someone's saying. He has the right to say those things. Again, he's claimed that women, black women's brains don't process as fast. Women are property to their husbands. MLK wasn't a nice guy. The Civil Rights Act was a mistake. That gay pride is a sin. That having gun rights means accepting a certain amount of gun. I mean, he said all these things. He was repeatedly accused of anti-Semitism by the Anti-Defamation League. I'm just going to read this again. This is a quote from Robert Jones Jr. We can disagree and still love each other unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and denial of my humanity and right to exist. We can disagree and still love each other unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and denial of my humanity and right to exist. Unless you want me to be treated differently under the laws. Unless you choose to strip rights away from me because of my beliefs or who I am. So, Charlie Kirk should never have been assassinated. He should be able to say whatever vile, hateful things he wants to say. Ollie from the Northwoods, go ahead. You're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hi, I just listened to the gentleman caller, and I can't count how many times he said everyone has the right for freedom of speech, yet the Republicans are going out and saying that if you spoke out, you should be fired. People are being fired for their freedom of speech about saying, merely saying
about Mr. Kirk.
Correct. Yes. Or saying something about him being shot. I don't think that was right. But I also don't think that one-sided freedom of speech is right either.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way to make this square, right? If the response to an assassination is to call for more violence and a civil war and declare that an entire tens and potentially over 100 million people that are citizens of this country are evil and vile, and then to suppress speech on the grave of a man who, at least ostensibly, in its kindest view, stood for free speech. I mean, the first thing I said when I got on the air the day that he was shot and killed, I said he was standing up there debating people who disagreed with him. And again, I think I said on that day, he said some vile and disgusting things. But he stood up there and had the freaking argument. By the way, one of the things that Charlie Kirk said at one point in time was that 12-year-olds should watch the public execution of Trump's governmental opponents, and some of those killings should be by guillotine. Just saying. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Gary from Sussex, hello, friend. How are you? What you got for us?
Well, I'm following one of your favorite guys. recently. So I hope you're in a good mood and you're not going to start tearing my head off. Okay. The thing is, I've been listening a lot. I don't call as much as anymore, but what they're saying is that Charlie Kirk says a lot of hate. Okay. Now maybe he does in different people's opinion. And the thing is that there's a lot of stuff that is absolutely not true. Like one guy called up on the Todd Aldis show and said that he's against women voting, which is nuts. I mean, that's not
true. He once made a statement that said that basically women should be the property of their husbands. If you're property, you don't get to vote. And yes, Charlie Kirk has said things that were broadly supportive of the abolition of the 19th Amendment. Here's the problem, Gary. Both universes of people live in their own bubbles. And the question is, which bubble is closer to the actual facts on the ground? And my respectful argument to you is, if you hear someone saying that Charlie Kirk said something like that, and you're like, hey, that can't possibly be true because that was offensive, take the 5-10 minutes on the internet and go check it out, because there's tape of him saying all this stuff.
If
he actually said that, Gary, would you think he's not some guy that you should be listening to?
Charlie Kirk, as far as I'm concerned, is a Christian man. And Christian, God tells us that we are to love the Jewish people. I love the Jewish people. I do not believe.
But if I played you tape of Charlie Kirk saying all kinds of anti-Semitic things, would that change your opinion of whether or not he is actually a man of God and a Christian and whether you should listen to him? Would it change your mind? Hang on, Gary. We're going to continue this discussion. We got to take a quick breath here. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Don't go anywhere and give us a...
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Joe Zepecki.
As much as I disagree with Charlie Kirk, no American should ever face physical violence for what they believe. And maybe that's how we get past it and move forward, is just say, this is not about, we can't get to a period of political violence. We're in one, and now we got to get out of it. And we have to recognize each other's humanity.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most, in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.5 WLAK. Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.5 WLAK.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. 107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is our last segment of the day. Get in your thoughts and comments, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I was having a civic discourse with my friend Gary from Sussex. We were talking about Charlie Kirk. And Gary, my question to you was, do you ever go and check what people say Charlie Kirk said? Have you ever looked at, for example, some of the accounts of the professors that he targeted on his professor watch list, and the death threats and hate mails and job losses and racist, awful messages that have tracked them from place of business to place of business and from home to home? Have you checked that stuff out?
Well, first of all, I'm 73 years old.
Okay.
And I don't follow Charlie Kirk that much. Maybe in the last 5 years I have. Previous to that, no. Ben Shapiro and him would go to all these colleges all the time. And I, you know, didn't really follow it at all. I knew a lot about him. I learned tons about him after he's been killed. And one of the things that I truly believe is people can say things 2 or 3 years ago, 6 months ago, And they do have a right to change their mind in what they say. They do make mistakes and apologize.
Yeah, but Charlie Kirk never did that. He never disavowed any of the stuff that I'm quoting to you. He was saying this up until the day I died. And by the way, Gary, I said to friends of mine this weekend, the thing that I think is the worst about this is not just that political violence is the norm. It's the fact that Charlie Kirk was deprived the opportunity to change his mind, to open his heart, to ask forgiveness for the group, from the groups of people that he has advocated active oppression of, including women and people of color and the gay community as a whole. I am saddened that he will never have the opportunity to seek forgiveness for that oppressive speech from the God he claimed to love. I mourn that opportunity for him. Assassination takes away from all of us the right to seek forgiveness and to change our minds. That is a true tragedy, that Charlie can never change his mind because he never disavowed any of that stuff, Gary.
Well, I understand that in some people's opinion, and I do believe that some of the stuff that he did say was maybe hateful, but it's the way, first of all, I'm a Christian, and I know what the Bible says about gay marriage and homosexuality. So if somebody would ask me, what do you think about it? I'd say, well, it's wrong. Now, is that hate speech, Maggie? I wouldn't sit there and drill about it and say, oh, you're going to
hell. If we're talking about your religious beliefs, but if those religious beliefs translated into different treatment of persons that worked for you on the job, I would say that that's not a good thing. I think people repeating their religious beliefs as if that has to be the belief for everybody else and the justification for different treatment of persons under the law, that that's an active harm and actually something that Jesus would probably have a problem with. That we shouldn't be defining rights based upon one group's religious beliefs.
Well, okay, but this is his opinion. He said before...
It's his opinion that he's advocating for government policy. He was one of the president's closest advisors. These weren't hypotheticals. These are realities. We see these things happening today. Donald Trump and J.D. Vance name-checking nonprofit organizations that don't politically align with Donald Trump's movement.
Well, Maggie, the thing is, what I look at on this assassination is, and I'm sure you heard this from a lot of people, conservative MAGA people, that they assassinate my future and your future president. He would have been president 2032 or 2036. I really believe it. And to be present.
Well, your belief doesn't make that fact. And whether or not that would have come to pass is a complete hypothetical. Bobby Kennedy was murdered, assassinated. So was MLK, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X. You want to stack up the amount of liberal Democrats that have been assassinated. Like the lists aren't comparable, but the point is we shouldn't be comparing lists in the first place. We shouldn't be comparing degree of hate speech that is acceptable. We should be able to condemn both the assassination and the hate speech that Charlie Kirk profited off of for decades. Can't we do both things? I will defend his right to say all of that stuff. And to be provocative and to go onto a campus and have those debates. I will condemn the assassin, who, by the way, was not a Democrat. He was like a 4chan, 8chan trolling griper nihilist who's about as far right wing as you can possibly get. But I'm not going to act like Charlie Kirk wasn't someone who trafficked in bigotry.
Sir, he was a nutcase. He had mental problems. And we all agree. I don't blame the Democrats for what he did. I blame him. He's a nutcase. And he's been kind of brainwashed by Antifa or whoever else he's hanging out with.
Groypers are a far right group. Antifa is a far left group. The groups have completely different ideologies and nothing to do with one another.
Maggie, I like you and I respect you and I like listening to you. And I like how you handle CJ because you let him talk. Nobody else really does that, so I really respect you. I disagree with a lot of things you say, but not everything you say. And you're a good person, and I believe that what you said in the beginning by saying it's sad and it's wrong that he was killed, I would never listen to you again if you'd have went out there and thanked you, if you'd have said, thank God he's dead. I would never listen.
Never in a million days. He's deprived of the opportunity to change his mind and continue to have a discussion. Gary, you'll always have a place on my caller list. Folks, if I didn't get to you, I'm sorry. It's all about these great discussions and real news here at Civic Media. Thanks for being with me. I'll be back tomorrow. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But remember, it is always better when we stand together peacefully.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Outside the White House Monday, Attorney General Pam Bondi spoke with ABC's Pierre Thomas, echoing statements from the president and others in his administration that Charlie Kirk's alleged killer was a left-wing radical promoting political violence, which she says they will uncover in court.
It doesn't matter who it is. Yes, who killed Charlie? Left-wing radicals, and they will be held accountable. So will anyone in this country who commits a violent crime against anyone. And the death penalty, thanks to Donald Trump, is on the table again.
On Monday morning, the body of 21-year-old Damar Travion Reed, a black student at Delta State University in Cleveland, Mississippi, was found on campus hanging from a tree. Police say there is no evidence of foul play at this time, but the investigation, which includes the Mississippi Bureau of Investigation, is ongoing. McDonald's says it plans on investing $200 million over the next 7 years to promote regenerative agriculture practices. This is ABC News. To Utah.